Another Yossi David, Edward Toyaway, Pasha Saf.
Privilege to take part in the wonderful program which has recently introduced to Edra. Something amazing. Party day, party week. Yeah? So, how's the Hashem? It's an honor. It's over to come here. There's a machleket in the Gemara, an interesting argument in the Gemara in Sochim, exactly when a person starts shelim v'doishim b'enchasetach. Yeah? We know that the machleket is showing most of what shelim v'doishim b'enchasetach means. Yeah? Whether it's just that you have to sit and learn the halachos of Pesach, or you have to just someone is standing in the queue to ask the shayla has got priority to come first. Yeah? However, we are the Kol HaDeis, we have to start today, that's for sure. That we already started today, because I think it's into Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, that he learned from Mishku, Kol Lachem, Rosh HaChodesh, that Am Yisrael on his Tave, that the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, starts 2 weeks before Pesach. He says, start Shalim Adoshim already 2 weeks before Pesach. I think the Allah, we have to start a month before, 30 days. So, I saw one of the Achrenim write that all the shiurim a person takes at this time, and the tzibur, you should make sure the shiurim connected to the Pesach as much as you could. So, I thought it's not hard to find a topic to speak about. The topic of Pesach is what Hashem loaded. Yeah? So, we picked something small, a few little points which we asked during the week, and we discussed it. And they are quite relevant to Ilchus Bikas Chometz, to know exactly what the background behind the Ilchus Bikas Chometz, and to know exactly how a person should fulfill it in the best possible way. How early can a person do Bikas Chometz? So I'll begin with a little question which was asked in the Beis Medrash. The question was as follows: if someone has a flight at 10:30 at night, on the night of the 14th, Ilchus Bikas Chometz. Now, from Pesach Sheni, we learn that a person shouldn't look for pturim of mitzvahs. And when I say Chazal, okay, there are mitzvahs, because chometz, don't look for these loopholes. And funny enough, the concept of selling chometz and selling your house, that doesn't come in the Gemara at all. You look for it, very, you won't find it in the Gemara. The new idea, approved by Shulchan Aruch, but it's not the best thing. If a person can do because chometz, if the kind of spelling was, you know, a shipload coming from Ever Layam, and you won't reach in time, you sell all there, or someone got a lot of merchandise, doesn't know what to do with it. But anyway, the meaning is to be rely on the chiras chometz. But this fellow wants to do because chometz. He wants to do it. He does the chadim. So he wants to know, his only option is to do it from plag mincha a day before the night of the 14th, which is a bit earlier in the night. And now on a quarter before nightfall, Plag Mincha, and we know, Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Plag Mincha person can now be married already. I think Rabbi Yehuda can say Kirshma as well. Yes, the mitzvah the rest of the Shach Lechol is not because it's night as much as it's Man Shchiva. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Mekai Mitzvah Plag Mincha, if a person has to leave early, he can light already from Plag Mincha in the Bokha. So providing he leaves enough oil. So his question is, his only option is got an hour from Plag Mincha, and then he has to leave to the airport. Once he leave a few rooms, he can do Bikas Chometz, and leave Mekayim, and take with him the Chometz to Ben Yisrael. Could he make a vroch on his Bdika? Should he make a Bdika? Should he better selling off his house? Should he make a vroch on the Bdika? Now, the question sounds like not for us so much. Yeah, we don't have the mitzvah to see us exodus from Pesach. We like staying at home, but those who do leave, I want to know, and Clarit, you should know that according to some opinions, if you haven't sold your home only in the day of the 14th, you have to do Bikas Chometz in the night of the 14th, because the son of Chazal might be, no matter what you're going to do in the future, some Achayim hold not like that. If you're going to sell it the next day, that's the max speed to make the Mechir on 13th. However, in order to start understanding what to do exactly, we have to. The first answer which comes across a person's mind is usually, why do we make al-bir chometz in the bdika? Why do we make a vach of al-bir chometz in the bdika? So first of all, you have to know, it's a big chiddush to make a vach at all. where do we find the Chazal advises to get rid of, tell us to get rid of all the chomets? Yeah, you have to make a bracha on it. It's supposed to protect you from doing an aveira. What room is there to make a bracha on it? You have to say it's a mitzvah which Chazal won't attack in, and therefore there's room to make a bracha. And the Gemara says quite clearly, every person who does bikkur chometz in the night of the 14th, the Gemara says that he has to make a bracha with his al bir chometz and the vayaneth chometz. We have to make a bracha on bir chometz. It's a kind of Chazal requires a bracha. Yes. By the way, Negev us in the morning, and Tilat Yedayim, there's an argument between the Rosh and the Rashba as to why we make a bracha on the Tilat Yedayim. So the Rosh seems to say that the reason why we make a bracha on washing your hands in the morning is because Yedayim askaniyotem, and in the course of the night, the person is about to have touched the covered part of the body, and he's not fit to govern, he's not fit to make a bracha. So therefore, Chazal made the takana to make Netilat Yedayim, and then you can ask the Kiddush Anu in search of a Tzivano al Netilat Yedayim. Sounds okay, but the Rashba gives a different reason. The Rashba says, Chadashim Labekarim, you have to give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving back the Neshom in the morning, so at the post you have to copy the Kohen Gadol in the morning, and just like he used to do Taras Yedayim, not the Yedayim that Raglaim used to do, but he's done Yedayim, yeah? The Ben Yishai writes why we don't wash our hands and our feet as well. If that's where the tumor leads from our bodies, so that's where we should wash the feet as well. We haven't got enough power to, only the Kohenim and our bodies to be able to do it. We haven't got the power to do it. We just leave it as is. That's already going to mystic and we'll come all the way, yeah? So, interestingly, the Rashba doesn't agree to the Rosh. And what's the reason why he comes up with this new reason? If you look at the Tshuva of the Rashba, which brings this reason, one Tshuva beforehand, the Rashba says, "Hayitachen de Chazal would be kaveh avocha if you don't get dirty ones." Yeah? Let's give a more example of, you've got soya next to where you want to daven, and you remove that soya. Yeah? In order to daven, you make a avocha before removing it? But the Chazal, because there's a halacha that you can't, you've got hands which are dirty, you'll make a avocha, requires a avocha to wash the hands? So it seems to be Rashba is not so happy. Every time a person dirties his hands during the day, he'll have to make a bracha on the Tilat Yedayim because he can't make any brachas without it. So it can't be. That's why it comes to his own reason. But here we seem to have, maybe it's the Makot Zerosh, it's a good enough reason. When Chazal tell you to wash your hands for a purpose to eliminate something which is troubling you to perform the mitzvah, similar here, they told you to search for chometz, that's the kind of dikah. However, the Rosh says, why you make al-biur chometz? Why al-biur chametz? Really, you should make al-bikat chametz. Yeah, it's more appropriate. Because what you're doing is bikat chametz. So Rosh gives an explanation. What does Rosh say? Rosh says, the biur, since straight after the bikat chametz, yeah, you're going to make bitul. And bitul is biur. Yeah, let me just clarify. Bikat means just searching. You're not doing anything with the chametz yet. You're just gathering it together. It's still yours. You're not getting rid of it. If it's inappropriate to say bi'ul, bi'ul means you're exterminating, you're getting rid of it. So he says, no, the bitul which you make on the night of the bikkur, straight after the bikkat chamesh, you make kol chamila, you make your bitul. He says, that's bi'ul. Bitul is bi'ul. It's a form of bi'ul. Getting rid from your shoes, from your possession. When you say hefke in the nusach, don't say hefke. But the actual making bitul is a bi'ul. Apart from that, says the Rosh, it's the tchilas bikkur because tomorrow you're going to burn the chometz before the issur d'oraisa of tashbitzu. You're going to burn the chometz. And for that bill, since you have to start by collecting the chometz in your home, that requires a bracha for that bill. So according to that logic, really, in our case, if someone wants to check from plug minister because he's honest, he's got no choice, so lechoira, he should be able to make a bracha. What was my obstacle? My problem was, the Gemara says that someone who leaves 30 days before Pesach is home, chal alav chovat bdika. That's the Elohim Shalem Bidosh and Milchat Pesach Shleshim Yom. The Gemara says, if he's intending to come back before Pesach, even for Moshe Shana you have to already check. So the halacha is brought down that a person leaves his home within 30 days or before, and his mind is to come back before Pesach, he has to, he's required to bdika chomet. That's the chadin. Do we make a bracha on that? The Ramah seems to say, "Bin Zeshem de Kolvo," Don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha. The Azlo Yavarech. Let me get the Remorium. Says, V'lo Yavarech Az Al Biur Chamech. Shulchanon doesn't relate to this issue, and he says he brings an argument. When the Ramon writes, in the name of the Kolbo, don't make a bracha if you make it before the night of the 14th. Seems to be from the Ramah, whether it's within 30 days or whether it's before 30 days, you don't make a bracha if you do an early Bdikas Chomet. The Bach disagrees with this. The Bach comes to some sort of a compromise. He says, you know what, if you're doing within 30 days, that's Chalalav Chavat Bdikas, Shleshim Yom Tevim Achai, says make a bracha, even if you make it before the night of the 13th, you have to leave. But if you're doing it before 30 days, don't make a bracha. What's the argument here? What's the Ramah? Why is the Ramah so cautious not to make a bracha before the night of the 14th? If you look at the Kolbo, one of the great Rishonim, he writes, he brings an argument to make a bracha or not, and it seems to be that before the night of the 14th, the Kolbo holds when you make, before the night of the 14th, it's not man bil lakol. It's not the time to make bir chametz to everybody. So therefore, you can't come along and make a bracha because you're an individual who's doing a sakana chazal. The Bach doesn't seem to be happy with that. He says, if you're doing what Chazal has told you to require, you should make a bracha. Anyway, to cut to the short, it seems to be that it boils down to the argument we just spoke before. What's the reason why you make al biur chametz? The Kolbo says, al biur chametz, the word biur tolerates zika, bitul, and burning of chametz. The word biur also means bdika. The action of bdika is the word biur too. So according to the Kolbo, yeah, the question of al biur chametz, why we make, it doesn't come onto the idea that because you're going to burn the chametz tomorrow, you make a bracha today. The Kolbo seems to hold the bdika itself is a biur. The Kolbo holds that the takanat chazal of din bdika chametz, the bracha was only on the searching of the chometz, not on the burning of the chometz the next day. And the Bemet is a shine in the chorim. What happens if someone didn't make a bracha? Why would this happen? I don't know. He didn't make on the night of the 14th of bracha. Should he make when he burns the chometz the next day? The Magravom and the Taz all hold, bring the Rosh down. According to the Rosh, the reason why I make al biur is because of the burning the next day. So you should be able to make a bracha. Comes along some chorim, and the Bach also, and holds, no. You don't make a bracha. Why? Because it's not as man deal. The thing is, the chayva was in the bdika. It's not the chayva. Sorry, you're not fulfilling the chayva of the bdika. So therefore, don't make a bracha when you burn the chametz the next day. Apart from all this, you should know that there's an argument amongst the rishonim when a person starts searching for chametz on the night of the 14th. The balamor holds you should start whilst it's still daylight. That's why the Mishnah says, "Oh, la'avasal." Then you say, oh, to tell you while it's still a bit daylight, you should start the bdika then. The Ran doesn't agree to this. The Ran says, no way. Oh, Aner, the Yerushalmi says quite clear, Oh, Aner, Yafel Ebdika. He says, that's one of the reasons. If Oh, Aner, Yafel Ebdika, you can't start before nightfall. Nightfall, the light, the candle all night as well. So therefore, the Ran doesn't like that. So it comes out, Lemaise, Ledina, a person who's going from Plag Mincha, although since Rav Yehuda is already night, but since some Achreinim and the Rishonim we don't agree that you can start the Bdika before the nightfall, and could be we're not mechalik between Choyva and Choyva, and therefore the establishment was only on the night of the 14th, you want to do it to an individual doing early, so a person should refrain from brachas. It's just to awaken the questions might be around it. Another question which came across was someone knocking to us. They asked, or someone is not here, he's asking the Shiach to make Bdika for him on his behalf. Who should make a bracha? The person who has a chiyuv bdika, or the shliach who's doing the actual ma'aseh bdika? Yeah, I'm sure Satan and your head is coming. Of course, the shliach should make a bracha. Yeah, you should know that the Ben Ishchai in Ilchot Chanukah says something interesting. If someone is not well and you can't light candles where you're lying in bed and someone else is going to move it, because as lakah it's a mitzvah, and therefore once you've lit it, yeah, you can't move it around. The Gemara says the person will think you're lighting it for your own purpose. You have to light it where you're going to place it. So says the Ben Ishchai, you're lying in bed and you can't get up. Ask someone to light for you another room, and you make the bracha. You, the Balabais, make the bracha. You can make the bracha, and he will go and light in the other room. even if you're not doing the Maisa Mitzvah. Sounds very strange to me, and try to look for a source. Until, coincidence, I came across the Ocha Shulchan. You know, you go to Chanukah Sabai, because they make a nice idea when you move into a new home. So people want to call a marble, have a rabboni, a zmoi, to bring the grain to come and put the mezuz in your house, and raise a meshubach. And what do? We have mechaved the rabboni to put the mezuz in the house and to make a bracha. You know what the Ocha Shulchan says? No way should the shliach make the bracha. If the balabait is there, the balabait should make the bracha. The shliach has absolutely no chiyuv here. You should make the shliach to put the mezuzah. For the bracha, the mitzvah is the balabait is mekayimit, so the balabait should make the bracha, and the shliach should put up the mezuzah. The Chizah Ben Yishan is not alone. Then we can ask the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan writes that the balabai should make the bracha and not the shliach. And if the balabai is not there, the wife should make the bracha. And if the wife is not there, one of the boys, who is over the mitzvah, should make the bracha. Yeah? The general argument that the child is under the mitzvah needs to put in the mitzvah to give me the right or not. But over the mitzvah, they should make the bracha because the shliach has done it. It's very, very strange. It seems to be that the shliach should. On the other hand, I looked up the Orach HaShulchan and Hilchos Pesach, and the Orach HaShulchan writes quite clearly in Hilchos Pesach, if you're making a shliach to give Dika Tomek, who should make the bracha? He says the shliach should make the bracha and not the balabait. The balabait is not involved at all in the Maaseh HaMitzvah, is not doing the Bdikat Chametz, then the shliach should make the bracha. There's a contradiction to something in the Orach HaShulchan. You already have a tougher question here. And all the Achronim seem to say that when you make a shliach and you are not physically taking part in the bdika, you should make the shliach should make the bracha. So we can differentiate, perhaps, yeah, differentiate between the chiyuv of hadlakas minas chanukah and mezuzah to bdikas chometz. Bdikas chometz is nothing to do with a house. It's eliminating from my possession. Wherever the chometz is, if it's a yenin house, if it's in the street, if it belongs to me, I've got to get rid of it. It's got nothing to do with the actual house. The house is not a chefet or mitzvah. When it comes to Hanukkah, if you don't have a house, you don't have to light Hanukkah candles. One of the knowing for lighting Hanukkah candles is in the house. Never mind that some people have a limit to light in the street. So it's not a chayvah shadlaka. Maybe it's the Indian of Tushkum HaNesh, but you don't have to rock on that. You have to have a house in order to light Hanukkah candles. Come on. Comes to mezuzah, same idea. And the mezuzah, the chiyuv is on the house. The chiyuv is on the people who are living in this house. You need a house. The house is the chefet mitzvah here. Okay? It's a tzitzit value. The bikkur chometz is not like that. Bikkur chometz is just to eliminate you from the chometz. It's not in the house so much. Yeah? It's more getting rid of the chometz. That's it. Perhaps there, you say, the shliach should make a bracha because you're not taking an active role. But when you're lying in bed in Chanukah and it's your house which is being passed from Tzivat Laka, so therefore you are taking a part even though you're not physically doing the Maaseh Mitzvah. Yeah? Before we continue, maybe coming to the Maaseh of Pesach, that's the halacha that you make the Shliach. If you're not taking an active role in the Bdikas Chometz, that's what you should do. You should let the Shliach make a bracha. Another issue, another topic, it's got to more baking matters. An interesting, trying to make, maybe you say doctorate, trying to find out where the minhag of making matters, which are dry and like crackers on Pesach, yeah? The minhag called to make crackers for Pesach, to make matters which are hard, yeah? Where does it originate from? And the question is, no chas v'sholom, not to any minhagi, but you have to start with understand a bit about, is that lechem oni? Is that so clear, it's lechem oni? As well as gives a lot of examples. For example, you know, some people make the matzahs very, very big. It's clear Ramah who says, you know, you shouldn't make the matzahs big. It's called ashisha. As well as says, matzah makes the matzah ashisha. What's an ashisha? Ashisha, Rashi says, matzah gzeila. Rashi didn't say what's the big matzah. It's not lechem oni. That's not the poor man's bread. Yeah? The Ramah brings it in Hilchos Pesach, in Daftat Nun Dalet. Anyway, my debate is, let's start, how long ago did the minhag start making things in matzah? The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Gemara in the Flamed Vavon base, the Gemara says, En ofin pat ava. Not make a thick bread on Pesach. Dibe Beit Shammai, they feel it matirim. What's the definition of pat ava? Thick matter. They feel it in Torah. What's the definition? The Gemara says, Amar avuna tefach. A matzah can be up to tefach. Wow. We see a matzah like that in our home. We straight away burn. The Gemara says, tefach is a share. Where do we learn it from? Matinu belechem aponim. Lechem aponim couldn't be chomet. Yeah? And it was a tefach height. Not that that was the maximum size, but that's the share which was given for lechem aponim, a tefach. Questions are beautiful. I don't like this. If Omru bezizim, Yomru bezhenem zizim. The Kohenim was zizim. What are you talking about? We don't make matzahs like the Kohenim. If you go to the matzah bakery, you see what zizim means. Yeah? And the Gemara still says that the Kohenim were even faster than that, more zizim than that. Yes? So if we're talking about such zizim, why would we allow it to give the law, to put the law into anybody's hands? No way. Yomru bezhenem zizim. If Omru bepata meila, you're working on this bread the whole time, you're bezhenem meila. Yomu be'etim evashim, used to use dry wood in the base of Megiddush, yeah? Yomu be'etim lachim, if no tano cham. Another thing the Gemara says, samu shel matechet, seems to be a person should take matzahs, better to take matzahs from ovens made from metal ovens, yeah? Made from metal. These are hotter ovens. It says, melechem aponim was metal ovens. And they were burnt every day. And they were done by zizim. You're going to let anyone do a matzah which is a tefachai? Then the Gemara changes its chart. Pat Ava is not mean, doesn't mean the thickness of the matzah. It means the quantity of how much matzah you should bake for one. That's what Pat Meruva. Pat Meruva, the Gemara says. The question is, the Maaseh, how we left the Shulchanov, right? Hey, Nosin, Matzah, Ava, this is a Tefach Hai, more than a Tefach Hai, on Pesach. Seems to be anything less than that, seems to be okay. My problem is, that the Bi'al Lachal goes into a long discussion exactly what the Shi'ot Ava is, whether it's like the Shulchan Aruch, Tefach, or not. I'm short and brief, since time is running out. Yeah? The question with the matters which we have today, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Samache, writes quite clearly that one of the definitions of Pat Ava Kislim, which you make on it Mezenim, yeah? The Gemara in Brachos, Pat Ava Kislim, you make on it Mezenim. One of the definitions of Pat Ava Kislim, the third one, which is the Oruch, yeah? He says, Shem Ka'akini Vashim, Chikosinota. Talks about proper crackers. It's regular dough. No mixture of any honey, any sugar. Regular dough, you made it dry, and it's like a cracker, a dry cracker. A dry, that's Kosinota. And that's the third definition of Pata Vava Kisni. But they all do Rishonim argue with each other. Never saw each other to argue with each other. Each one gave a different definition of what's not normal bread. And that's the definition of matzah. So, Naniach, according to the meaning of the Ashkenazi, you can make an egg. If you're Koveh student, Pater of a Kislim, you can make a moisty. So, you wouldn't have a problem of Pesach making it in a moisty. But if you had a snack on Pesach, the Chorah should be Mizrenus. And according to the Fadim, when it comes to Kislim, not Koveh student, which you could be a student. It has to be Shadech b'nei Adam Yikvah Sudah. You have to have at least 160 to 220 grams minimum of Pata Vava Kislim to make an etamoiti. Less than that, you don't. But however, it's classified as Pata Vava Kislim. How can you make an etamoiti less than minaret if you're having it as a snack, if you're having it as this? What should we do with the matzah? So if you look at the, really, look at the Achrein, Chok Yaakov, one of the father, Yaakov Risha, was the Baal, the brother of the Eli Rava. And he writes, it's Kovi Etzba. He used to make the matzah Kovi Etzba. Yeah? Thick. That's what's called the kikim. The kiki not crackers, the kiki not thick. But seems to be 150 years ago, the minute became that some people said, if I can say this, you should not have anything but crack, but the dry, because they're easily baked and you're worried. So, how do you hum yash in this Indian? So, you should know that there's an argument between the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. It's how to define sweet bread as the Pata Vava Kisi. Yeah? The Shulchan Aruch writes, on the Rambam, which Rambam says, Irv Badvash or Tavlin. If you mix Dvash, honey or Tavlin to the dough, it becomes Pata Vava Kisni. So Beis Yosef says, the Rambam, you've left us in a big problem. How much sweetness must you add on to the flour? Must it be Ruiv? Must it be on your base? Well, what have you done to us? You know what the Hirsut says? From the other definition of that, from the tavlin, from the spice, everybody knows you don't do wrong spice. If you want to put a spice into bread, you're not going to put the majority of the dough you're going to need it with spice. You choke. So spice means you put a bit of taste. It comes to the Hirsut conclusion that the definition of that about the kismin, to make mezeinus in it, it's a bit sweeter than regular bread, you're making it mezeinus. And what's the svara, says the Shulchan Aruch? Because Chazal will kovea hamoitzi and three brochos only on the regular bread which is eaten. The regular bread, everybody knows, is just plain water with maybe perhaps salt, a bit of sugar, but insignificant. Regular water and flour, that's what people normally go make a survey in the streets, what is regular bread? You see that that's the regular bread. So on that the will kovea hamoitzi and three brochos. Anything not that, not like that. Comes the Dutch Moshe and says, you know, the Ramon doesn't argue with the Rabbi Yosef Karo a lot. Most times he doesn't argue with Torah. He argues Minhag. The Minhag is not like that, he says. How can you come along and tell us that? The Minhag in Ashkenaz is that on Friday night, Shabbos and Yomim Toivim, and also in special Nisuim, the special events, we have sweet bread. Yeah, connect sweet to sweetness. No, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Nisuim. So, and ours, we make, not majority, a bit like what you're saying. So for us it's a moisty, a kovea suda. So says the Ramah, the definition of fat of Rabbi Kisnin is, if the majority of the dough is needed with dvash or meterot, yeah, only then you make a mezeinus. Yeah, and that can be cool in many bakeries. This is Maharsham, where he says, that, okay, Rav is no water. You know what we'll do? We'll take some water, we'll put a bit of tea in it, it'll be tea now. And we'll put the tea, they do the whole dough with tea. And if you taste actually the bread, it's got no difference between that and regular. There's no nickel down. It's a bit of a question. I'm not going to rely on it. Yeah? However, going back to our problem. So comes out, what's the Ramah saying here? The fact that sometimes we use this bread for kviyu suda as the main bread for our meal, Shabbos Yom Tov, that's enough to send it. So the Beskis, if I agree to you, sometimes you use fancy bread. But that's not enough. It has to be what the normal bread. That's what Chazal Okevea Moises is offering. If that's the case, you can say that perhaps here there's a slight argument in the Shulchan Aruch in regards to these factors. Ramah, 7 days of Pesach, that's my bread. And people are Okevea through them crackers. So therefore, even though crackers normally, I would think, in times in the Hinnah, since the 7 days of Pesach, and Hinnah is someone from the Beis Dovi, who lived 250, 300 years ago, with a similar Torah. So since the Pesach, this is our bread, and we're Koyvea, Sud, and Eid, so therefore that becomes our bread, it turns into our Mansi. Even though it's only for 7 days, even though it turns, since sometimes we do that, so it's called not part of our kitchen anymore. That's why the difference between tea crackers and not tea crackers, by the bake, yeah, that could be the source. According to Shulchan Aruch, that's a problem. 7 days a week, a year, would not turn something into part of our kismin. You should know, that's fine, yeah? I don't know, because we have soft masses, yeah? If we can get hold of them. And then it's back, ahead, I looked at the book of the Minogim, then it's also to have the crackers as well for Moishe as well. The reason was more of a technical issue. In the night of Pesach, yeah, it was easy to bake after Chatzos, to bake fresh, thick masses, and they won't become hard, because by the time you eat it, quick enough, they won't become hard. But there was a technical issue, they didn't like baking masses. You can bake masses on Pesach even, yeah? But they didn't like baking masses on Pesach, so they would have to bake them earlier on, and those masses were always crackers, yeah? So far, the minhag of having crackers came from such a technical issue. You can't keep the masses fresh, it doesn't make crackers. But the Ashkenazim seems to be was more for minhag, the people were not the keen, they were not fluent in baking masses, so they want to rely, they sort of bake them thin, at least with 30, 50 seconds in the oven, it's already fully baked. Yeah? So that's the idea. Someone pointed out an interesting issue, that the more you work with the masses, sometimes the thinner it is, if you leave it unworked on for less time than regular, it's more likely to have to be very, very careful. That's why the matter to do metal tables, the metal rollers, the more metal you involve in the story, even before putting it into the oven, it helps a lot. So anyway, this is just to awaken in Yonim before Pesach, and Chassid Shalom to be Machreya, and then the Allah, who am I? But everything is Mr. Mustafa.
Thank you.